Take your Bibles with me and turn them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see the gospel preached through the letter written by Paul through the inspiration of God to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now let's jump down to verse number 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." That word vain means empty. It means false. "And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Don't you love verse 20? "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." A few years back, take about 10 years back, there was much excitement about a documentary. And it aired on the Discovery Channel, and it was entitled "The Lost Tomb of Jesus." The Lost Tomb of Jesus. On the official website of The Lost Tomb of Jesus, it states, "An incredible archaeological discovery in Israel changes history and shocks the world." The documentary was based on 10 limestone ossuaries, or bone boxes, dated to the first century, that were found in 1980 in the excavated tomb in the Jerusalem suburb. In Jesus' day, when someone died, the family members often wrapped the body in shroud and placed in the tomb, carved out of rock. After a year or so, they would gather the bones and place the bone in a bone box. According to the Lost Tomb of Jesus, the bone boxes that were found belonged to Jesus and his family. And they go through all the names that they used and found on the bone boxes, and at the end of it, they understood that it was a 1 in 600 chance that this was Jesus Christ. A 1 in 600 chance that this was Jesus Christ. Now, Jane Root, who was the president of the general manager of the Discovery Channel, said that it was one of the most important archaeological finds in human history. "And the evidence is compelling. The consequences are enormous." And the question I want to ask you this morning on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus' tomb, is it a lost tomb or is it an empty tomb? Jesus' tomb, is it a lost tomb or is it an empty tomb? I want to answer that right now, that the tomb of Jesus is empty. The tomb of Jesus is empty. If the tomb of Jesus is lost or is full, then our preaching is empty. But the tomb is empty, and the message is full of the gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your gospel, your word. Thank you for your word, sure and true. Lord, as we stand firm on your word this morning, I pray that you'll speak through me. And Lord, if there's anybody in this auditorium that does not know for sure if they die, they go to heaven, I pray that today will be the day that they make the best decision they'll ever make to accept you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is it a lost tomb or is it an empty tomb? I believe that Matthew 28, verse 6, it's a empty tomb. He is not here, for he is risen. As he had said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, we sang. Watching the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away. As I watched out here while you sang that, I saw some people smiling. That's exciting to see, because that's exciting news. That the stone was rolled away and the Rock of Ages came out and rose again. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. On the day of Pentecost, Peter announced this. He declared this, him being delivered by the determinate counsel of and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands ye crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. I love Philip Brooks' Easter Carol, tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumph say, Christ will rise on Easter Day. You see, Jesus did rise on Easter Day. It is not a lost tomb. It is an empty tomb. But what if? What if it was just a lost tomb? We see Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. He writes this thought. What if Christ was not risen? What if Christ is still dead? What if it was just a lost tomb? I just have 3 points to make about that statement of what if. Number one, our dedication is useless. If that is just a lost tomb, if it's not an empty tomb, if Jesus Christ was still in the grave, then the dedication that you have, the dedication that I have to Jesus Christ is useless. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, look at verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also in vain. Paul spoke of our preaching. He was speaking of a matter that calls for our dedication. We see a message we have received. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand. There was a message there that Paul was speaking, and that's the message that we as a church ought to be getting out. The gospel is the message that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried. And now, wait a minute. That doesn't complete the gospel. Jesus just dying on the cross and being buried is not a complete gospel. The complete good news of the Word of God is that Jesus Christ died for you and he was buried, and that, praise God, on the third day he rose again. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we present the gospel, may we not leave out the most important part of that Jesus Christ lives. That he lives. There's the ministry that we have received. It was a message that Paul declared unto others. is a message that we have shared to others. Paul said in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." We have received the message from others and have been given the responsibility to tell others what we have received. When we go on a Saturday and we knock on the door and present the gospel to them, if it is a lost tomb, those efforts are in vain. How many of you have loved ones that you've been trying and trying and trying and praying and praying, and hours upon hours upon hours you have spent, whether praying or presenting the gospel, desiring them to be saved? And if Christ be not risen, all that time is in vain, is what's called empty, the Bible tells us. See, we have a ministry here. In verse 14 it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain." You see, if Christ be not risen in the last 9 months, 8 months that I've been here, then the missionaries' letters, the preaching that goes on all over the world, and the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pulpits that are being filled and mounted today preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, all that would be empty, Paul says. If the tomb was just a lost tomb, just a lost tomb. But I love what Alfred Ackley said, "I serve a risen Savior." He's in the world today. You see, there's a purpose to his resurrection. There's a purpose to him coming out of that grave. He serves a purpose. Number one, we serve a risen Savior. That separates him from every other god in this universe. Every other god that's served is a dead god. I'm going to tell you this morning, Buddha is dead. The Muslim god is a dead god. I heard someone say, isn't all the gods the same? Absolutely not. You see, my God died for me, was buried, and rose again for me. My God invested in me his life, sacrifice. And he lives. And that separates our God from all other gods, is that our God lives. Our God lives. It's an empty tomb. It's an empty tomb, which means it's a full ministry. It's a full dedication. I want you to look at number two. Our salvation is hopeless. If it's a lost tomb, then our salvation is hopeless. Look at verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, Paul says, "And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Did you hear that? Ye are yet in your sins. See, in salvation, we're in Christ. If we're lost, then we are in our sins. Okay, we have the gospel, Pastor Creed. Jesus Christ came, and he died, and he was buried again. And he rose again. What does that mean for me, Pastor Creed? What does that mean for me? You see, everybody in here is a sinner. All right? Wives, how many of you know your husband's a sinner? Yeah. We had a couple hands up. Husbands, how many? No, I'm not going to ask that. I want this afternoon lunch to be just fine, okay? I want it to be a good lunch for you. We know that we're all a sinner and we need a payment. We're in need of a payment. Understand that we can't buy our way to heaven. We're a sinner. That sin separates us from an almighty God. I can't get to God because I'm a sinner. There must be what's called a propitiation. A payment that satisfies God. This morning we talked about that word propitiation in our Sunday school class. I gave this illustration. I'll give it to you. I have a son named Colton Lee Creed. This morning he's getting baptized. That's exciting, isn't it? I think the water is freezing cold, so it's going to be very interesting. But when Colton gets money, you know what he does? He wants to go to Walmart. I don't know why Walmart. He wants to go to Walmart. He wants to buy something. He doesn't go to the pharmacy. He doesn't go to the clothing. Guess where he goes? To the toys. He goes to the toys. And there's an aisle I always tease him about. It's the princess aisle. No, I don't want that. I want this aisle. Okay, all right. We go down that aisle. And without a doubt, I can tell you, I can prophesy this for you every time. He goes with $5 and wants to buy a $50 toy. Yeah, parents, how many know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. He's got the $5, that's the money. He told me the other day, he said, Walmart's not a real store. I said, why not? He said, because I went to the Dollar Tree and they gave me money back. Walmart, when you buy something, they don't give you money back. Amen. I'd like to go find a store that gives you money back, wouldn't you? And he goes and he picks out this toy, and he wants this toy, but he only has $5. We are sinners. We want salvation. When we die, we want to go to heaven. But we can't afford that. We can't pay our way to heaven. Somebody else has to make that payment. That's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ came and died for us. There's an illustration we went over this morning of the Titanic. You see, in the Titanic, there were some rich people, weren't they? There were some poor people that stayed in the bottom of the boat. There were some rich people that had, boy, they had these nice rooms, and they had people carrying their luggage, and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. And boy, they would just carry and take care of them, and every need they needed was met, and there was these people that had to go get their stuff themselves. They were just happy to be on this beautiful ship, but when the Titanic started going down, there was no rich or poor. When word got back to New York about the Titanic, there's only two classes of people. Those that were saved and those that were lost. Those that were saved and those that were lost. Listen to me very carefully. I'm not here to dupe you. I'm very simply wanting to give you the gospel. This morning, you're in one of two classes. You're in one of two categories. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you're glorying this morning when we sing the song, He Lives. When Christ, we say Christ is risen, Christ arose, that should make you happy. Not just getting, oh, we got one more verse. Get through one more. Well, I can't believe we're standing on these songs. Good night. Why can't we sit down singing this song? I don't know if I could sit down singing one of those songs. That's exciting. By the way, it's okay to say amen during a song. All right? We can do that. You're not going to be excommunicated from Temple Baptist Church for saying amen when someone sings a song. And by the way, it's okay for you not to say amen. All right? Some of you, when you get excited, you just want to, that's okay. Give it a thumbs up. But get excited. Jesus Christ lives. Amen? And there's some that might be lost here this morning. Might be lost. See, the tomb is empty, which means you don't have to be lost. You can be saved. And it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. There's many decisions that you make this year. Where are we going on vacation? What am I going to have for lunch? What am I going to have for dinner? Am I going to wear a bow tie to church? There's all kinds of decisions we make. Which house to buy? Which car to buy? But the most important decision you will ever make in your life is the decision to put your faith and trust on Jesus Christ and no one else. And I'm going to tell you this, there will be a day when your knee will bow. Why don't you make that day today? Why don't you stop fighting? Why don't you stop giving excuses? Understanding that the grave is empty, Jesus Christ lives, and he lives for you, and he wants you to be saved today. Would you make that decision? It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Jesus Christ lives. You see, if he doesn't, though, our expectation is baseless. Our expectation is baseless. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Paul not only speaks of the resurrection of Savior, but he also speaks of the resurrection of the saints. The resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What a great moment that is. What a great expectation that is. What a great blessed hope we have in the return of Jesus Christ. Do you even think about that? Is that even a reality in your life? It's a great expectation to have. Boy, we expect great things from God, don't you? I expect great things from God right here in this church. But the greatest expectation I can have for God is that Jesus Christ is going to come back again. Amen? We have lilies up here. Many of you paid money for us to go get a lily and set it up here in honor of someone who has passed away. And you think about that person. What is that person doing right now? You see, they're having the best resurrection day. As we get to celebrate it, we get to talk about it, we get to preach about it, we get to sing about it, and we get to pray, but they're looking Jesus Christ face to face, the one that rose again. And there's an expectation I have. That my last day on earth will be my first day in heaven. And I'm going to get to see Jesus. I'm going to get to see Jesus. You know why? Because there's an empty tomb. Not a lost tomb, an empty tomb. Oh, the friends that now are waiting in the cloudless realms of day, who are calling me to follow where their steps have led the way. They have laid aside the armor, and their earthly course is run. They have kept the faith with patience, and their crown of life is won. They have laid aside their armor for the robe of spotless white, and with Jesus they are walking where the river sparkles bright. We have labored here together. We have labored side by side. Just a little while before me, they have crossed that rolling tide. What a reunion that's going to be in 1 Corinthians 15:22-23. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Amen? We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I love this phrase. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great expectation. Why can we have that great expectation? Because the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. I shall see them. I shall know them. I shall hear their song of love. And we'll all sing hallelujah in our Father's house above. This resurrection, let me say it plain. Let me say it with blessed assurance. There is not a lost tomb. And hallelujah, there is an empty tomb. And Jesus Christ lives today. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today.